Our teaching today, and I'm calling this, the highest measure is to walk with God. The highest measure is to walk with God. Do you know, I seldom ever really hear this taught today in a lot of teaching. You know, we're taught about God and taught about his ways, and to have faith, and all of that is important. We have our doctrines and so on, but little is really ever taught about actually walking with God. And do you know why? Because few see the heavenly call. Few see the reason why you are called, saved, from the foundation of the world. We measure our walk today with busyness, activity, religious things. That's not a problem in Christendom. Most of what you'll see or read or hear is all very much based on being busy or works. But you know, we are called to follow Jesus. And he is the master's voice. And it means that we follow him as disciples. How he walked, his relationship with his heavenly Father. That is the calling, first and foremost, on our lives. Your calling is to be committed to walk with God in covenant, in relationship, each day. When we wake up, our heart's desire and confession is, I walk with you this day, Father, in Jesus' name. And believe it, and let the Spirit do the rest. Let us turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and verses 35 and 36. 35 and 36 of the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And here, in these two verses, gives us a clue, an understanding of our calling. And again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. So John is preparing the way for Messiah. And we see, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. There it is. Verse 37. There is the power of the Holy Spirit at work. John is ministering. He sees the Lamb of God. He has followers, and his followers, it says, see, they turned. And seeing them, said to them, follow, and what do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher, where are you staying? And so it goes on, and then he says, come and follow me. So the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. How did they know? What was working? What was going on here? It's supernatural. It's the power of God at work. It is the mercy of God at work. It is the Spirit communicating with human flesh, opening the mind and the eyes and the understanding. When we grasp this principle, we will not get caught up in all these works that goes on so much today. We call it religious works. One of the highest measures in the Bible is to walk before God. And this is a measure of your faith and your strength. This is what tells the world what you are before them. Not how busy you are, not how much you are caught up in religious works, but the measure of you as a Christian is your walk and consecration with Almighty God. That is what always sorts it out. Because when you walk with God, you are not caught up trying to advertise what you do. I've been communicating with a young man from Pakistan. Outwardly, he appears to be very committed, a very godly young man. And we've just made communication today. I felt led by the Lord to make contact with him. And one of the first things he has said to me, "Have you seen my profile?" Well, yes, I've had a look at his profile. And his profile outwardly looks very religious, very pious, feeding the poor, very respectable young man, fellowshipping. Outwardly, it all looks fine. But I'm going to have news for him that I'm not particularly interested in his profile. What I'm interested is whether he walks with God and whether his life reflects the Lord Jesus Christ and not his works. And that is how I approach a lot of these young men who contact me. I'm getting at least 10 a week who contact me now, wanting to join the ministry or wanting me to get involved and so on. And I know what a lot of it is. It's because they want financial help. And so, you see, I have the opportunity to turn them to the Word of God. They love to use their scriptures, and particularly the scriptures that talk about the Lord loves a cheerful giver and you're to help, support and everything. I then go back to them and say, "Do you know who your Heavenly Father is? Do you believe in those scriptures that you put out?" And it challenges them. I give it to them straight. And I know those who are listening, because some of them will come back and they keep coming back. And why are they doing this? Because they've heard something different. They have seen that I'm not interested in their profiles. I'm not interested in their appeals. These photos that they use of feeding the poor children in the brickmaker's place in Pakistan, they're basically slaves. It's terrible what goes on there. But I have told them that they should not exploit these children. I told them, "Would you like to be photographed in rags, looking up with those big brown eyes? Is that how you would like the world to see you?" It's getting them thinking. I said that we're to have respect for young children, as Jesus did, and not exploit, abuse, or misuse them just to get money, because a lot of this is a scam. I've been informed by some of the Christians there that there are some who are making a lot of money out of it, buying their home, cars, designer clothing. And I expose it, that much of it is a scam. But out of what I'm doing, I believe a true remnant will respond. You see, you have to come with the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, in which to divide the powers of darkness. And here, in this calling, John the Baptist, with Jesus, the Lamb, which he sees and he's going to baptize, they hear him and they follow. What are they hearing? The Word made flesh, which Jesus was. And this is why I am always saying our call, our walk with God is heard in the Word. Salvation is received in the Word, not all these religious entertainment that we have so much today. This is where the calling comes, by the Spirit, by the unction, by the anointing. And it is always a call, brothers and sisters, on your life to walk with your Heavenly Father in covenant, in relationship with him. That is the first thing that you see in your calling, or should see, if you are being taught the Word of God. And so this is why we're calling this teaching today, the highest measure is to walk with Almighty God. Hallelujah. Abraham was called in which to what? Walk with God. Let's look at it in Genesis 17 and verse 1. Because he is the father of faith. In the flesh, we look to him, a man who walked after God. He walked by faith. What does it say in Genesis 17 and verse 1? When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and he said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. There you go. He heard the word of God. God was making a covenant with him of fellowship, walking together in agreement. And he says, be blameless. And even God had to protect him and preserve him with regard to that. What was he saying here? He's saying, I will make you fruitful and I will strengthen you. Walk before me. That's what he's saying. And as a result, with that walking with God, God revealed himself in stages in his life, revealing his faithfulness. Because he heard the word of God, and the word of God said to him, walk before me. The Christian gospel, its preaching and teaching, is to call God's people to walk before Almighty God. That principle doesn't change. Yet we have so little today that's ever taught on this. All you're taught about is to be busy, doing all the time. As we know, we're called not to do, but to be before him. It's what he makes us, sons and daughters of God, before him. It is his work, made perfect in our weakness. The Christian walk is not in trying, in doing. The walk is to yield to the Spirit and let him work it through us. That is how we walk with God. But so many Christians walk independently of him, doing it themselves in the flesh. I want to be in control. And the only way the self-life, is dealt with is when you go to your cross, and the self-life must be crucified to get it out of the way, because the self-life is such a hindrance to walking with God. You see, Abraham abandoned himself totally on God. It says he left his land, his family. He trusted God. And all the while, God was bringing him to a place in that covenant of where he would surrender. And his final testing was with his son Isaac, when he said, "You will offer him up to me." Again, a surrendering of his own life, his own will, what he wants, and he's going to offer up the dearest possession and gift given to him, his son. And God saw that he was willing to do it because he was in faith, believing God. How do we know? He told his servant, "We will return to you." In other words, his faith believed, even if I slay him, then God will raise him up. And that was enough. He had passed the test. He was revealing he walks with God. And as a result, the angel of the Lord stopped him, and God provided a ram caught in the thicket for a covering, for an offering. You see? This is why we have to learn to walk with God. And God is going to work with each of us, bringing us to those places, those spiritual locations, those spiritual mountaintops, where he's going to meet with us. And it's all a sign that he has made covenant with us through his son, Jesus Christ. This is why we share the bread and the wine. And the wine signifies this new covenant that God has made with us by the shedding of blood. And it is a covenant with him and a covenant with each other, fellowship in the body of Christ. All of that signifies that we walk with God. And if we walk with him, then we walk with each other, those of like mind and heart and spirit. You can't separate it. This is why a covenant is two people joining together in oneness, unity, and in agreement. And of course, we see that in marriage. When a husband, wife marry and become together, they come together in unity, oneness, one flesh. It all signifies what God has done in a covenant, in fellowship with us. Because God first loved us. It wasn't in us. We were too happy enjoying sinning in this world until God put a stop and said, "You go no further." And he turns us around. That is the miraculous work of salvation. That when Christ comes into your life, you are never the same. And all the while you're trying to walk independently of him, he is never going to give you peace. He's going to foul your life up. He's going to hinder it. He's not going to let your hands be blessed in anything until you yield to him and stop fighting and walking independently of him. That is the mercy and grace of God. There have been some things in my life when I thought God has been my enemy. He hates me. And it's not until afterwards have I realized God intervened and stopped me going down that road that would have led to destruction. You see, we don't see it straight away. We always get hold of the wrong side of the story, the wrong picture, because we're so full of ourselves. I'm hurting. Poor me. That's self-pity. But when we come through, we then can look back and say, Father, in your mercy and grace, you stopped that because that would have destroyed me otherwise. You see, this is the great and infinite love of God, the wisdom of God. Who can understand it? This is his hand and preservation over our life. For what? For fellowship, to walk in covenant relationship with us. But we're still too often looking to the world for that substitute. I know, I'm human. I go through it. I'm preaching to myself as much as I am to you. But I know at the end of the day that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And it doesn't lie in man. It doesn't lie in this world. Never has done. And the only way that God can get my attention, the only way he can work through me, is that I confess each day I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. There it is. He now lives in me. It's his life that's taken over. And that's the key to this walk with God. And that's how you will walk with him. This is why we preach the deeper life, brothers and sisters. Because it's relationship. It's a walk with him. And when you get that right, then everything else flows from that. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You don't have to beg, plead, or borrow. And that's what I'm having to face with these brothers and sisters in Pakistan, because at the moment all they have been taught is to beg, to ask. They haven't seen yet that God wants to answer their prayer of faith. And that's why you stay with them and you keep with them until they start to begin to see. Same with us. It's because God has stayed with us, kept with us, keeps reminding us, so that we eventually get that word dropping from the head to the heart. That's what he does. That's the long mercy and patience of Almighty God. Because God is saying, I will make you fruitful. I'm going to strengthen you. What will be the point of walking before God if you're not fruitful? Because by walking with God, that is where he reveals the fruit of the Spirit through us. What does Isaiah 40 say to us? Isaiah chapter 40. Let's find this. Verse 31. You know this well. Isaiah chapter 40. And verse 31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What is that telling us? It's talking about walking with Almighty God. You know, when we're not looking to the Lord or waiting on him, we will look to alternatives. And that's always what happens. And those alternatives often in nature are idols, idolatry. That's what it does. And this was the sin that Israel so often fell into. She didn't walk with God. She would for a season when she was chastised, but then began to fall back. Why? Because she was looking to alternatives. And we look to other things to stimulate. This is why we have to be careful with our jobs or hobbies or our family life. Or when we go shopping, all the things of this world, we have to be on our guard every day when we walk in this world. And how are we on our guard? It's called the whole armor of God that you put on each day. What is it for? So that you can walk and survive in this world and not turn to it and look at it and worship it as idols. Because when we start to do that, we start to counterfeit the Holy Spirit. Instead of mounting up with wings like eagles, it's a steady decline spiritually. It's never a rapid fall. It's a slow fall. That's the subtlety of it. And that's why a lot don't see it. And it has to be the mercy of God that intervenes and opens our eyes and says, you are falling and I want you to see it. And that's why walking without God is being independent of his presence. We've always got to keep the Lord before us. And this is the key. Walk before me. And that should be the first thing when we wake up in the morning. I walk with you this day. Confess it. Hear yourself say it. Let the enemy hear it. It's your confession of faith. This is why when you get into your closet, you get into prayer. Your prayer time, it's not always just in the spirit, in tongues. Yes, that's important, but it's also a confession. Because you're confessing before your Heavenly Father and before the powers of darkness, I walk with God in covenant, in relationship with him. That's why we make these confessions of faith. Agreeing with God's word, lining our confession up with the word of God, this word that calls us, that saves us, that blesses us, that gives us a faith each day to walk with God. You've got a faith today to walk with God today. Not yesterday's faith, not yesterday's walk, or whatever happened today, now. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And this is why we also have to be taught about his presence, to trust his presence. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. This is why we labour in the word so that you can be taught in which to walk before him and to experience his presence. Because the sons and daughters of God that are maturing now by the Spirit, they're the ones who are before his presence. They walk before him. That's why you see in Revelation 5 and 6, when the church, the overcomers, the first fruits is called away, where are they? in the presence of the Lord before his throne, casting down their crowns before him. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes, because they have learnt to walk with him. Many of our brothers and sisters don't have a clue on this. They think being busy with religious activity is walking with God. It isn't. They've got it all round the wrong way. That's why I keep saying the most busiest people in churches are the least spiritual. And sadly, you'll find many of these busy people, they're so petty and argumentative that they don't like anyone else in the church if they try and do their job or whatever it is. I know, I saw it when I was in the denomination. The backbiting, the pettiness that went on was unbelievable. It really was. You know, God hasn't called us to that at all. What does he say in Psalm 46? Psalm 46, I think it's verse 15, wait a minute. 46, Well, let's read this, 46, Psalm 46 here. And it says here, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, through its waters roar and troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her. Just at the break of dawn, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And he says in verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. It's all about standing, being before God. And God does the rest through you and through the body of Christ. God's presence deals with those areas that paralyze most spiritually. This is why you don't see the healings and deliverances. They're bound in their sin and unbelief and keep coming back all the time for prayers, the same old prayers. Nothing changes. Why? Because they've never learned to walk before God. And God's presence would deal with anything in our lives, anything that is unclean, any area of unbelief, anything that doesn't come to his standard, he will deal with it. This is why we preach the deeper life. And this is why I keep saying, keep coming, keep listening to the word of God, and God will deliver you. He'll conform your life to his image, his standard, by simply hearing and learning to walk with him. We can't walk with God unless he provides, unless he deals with sin at the cross. It's impossible. So if God is saying, walk with me, then I believe it. And whatever he has to deal with me in order to do that, he's big enough and all powerful enough to do it. And he will. But you see, there are some who fear his presence, who fear a teaching like this. And do you know why? Because they don't want to deal with their sin. And sin causes you to run away, to hide. That's its nature. But when you've truly been touched by God, and you are aware of sin and weakness and unbelief in your life, something within you keeps coming back because you want it dealt with. You want that change, that deliverance. And even God has put that desire within our hearts. You know, his presence isn't just for theological teaching and training. And it has its place, don't get me wrong. It's for his presence. It's an understanding. It's an experience. It's a reality. And when we get to this place with God, we won't always be asking all the time, is this right? Is this wrong? Should I do this? Should I do that? Or whatever it is, you will know. How will you know? Because you're walking together. You know where he's going. If he's turning left, you're turning left with him. If he's turning right, you're turning right with him. That's how he wants us to walk with him. And if you're walking before God, and that's what you want, then he's going to let you know. And how is he going to do it? By blessing you with his presence. Hallelujah. And it's a confirmation to our heart and our spirit. And it's a confidence to know that God will lead and guide me this day. He will not let any harm fall upon me. This day he will meet and provide all my needs according to his riches in glory. You will know if you're walking before him because that fear and that anxiety is starting to go. It's leaving. It's not gripping you and controlling you like it did before. You're finding you're letting go. And you're finding the mighty power of God taking over. That is what it means to walk before God. And your walk is a walk of covenant. And a covenant is where two come together in harmony, in agreement, and in unity. That is what it means. I was very struck the other week. Our sister, who's just been blessed with a dog. I believe the Lord opened my eyes to see this. A lovely dog she's got. And the dog came. And yes, he was in the house having a good sniff around. It was all new. But in his movements, going around, he kept looking up at her. He wasn't taking his eyes off her. Whatever he was doing, whatever he was pursuing or sniffing out or whatever it would be. And I shared this with her. I said, that dog loves you. I said, he never takes his eyes off you. She said, yes, I know. And she said, he has come into my life at the right time. He is a blessing from the Lord. You see, God, open my eyes to see that. And that's why I'm able to teach this teaching to you today. It has to take an animal, a dog, to open my eyes to see the bigger picture, how God works. How much more should we, each of us, keep our eyes upon God Almighty, who loves us with an everlasting love. Heavenly Father, thank you for this teaching. Thank you that you love us so much. Thank you, Father, that there are just some teachings that come straight from your heart, from the throne of grace, that we have need of hearing. Lord, may each of us apply this word. May each of us confess and desire each day that I walk with you in covenant, in relationship. Father, help us in your mercy and grace to put that first principle in operation. It is the first of the commandments that were given to Moses, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your being. Father, help us to do this for your glory. We ask now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.